And good evening, and welcome to another edition of the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com and mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Along with former Mosinee head football coach and Wisconsin Football Coaches Association Hall of Famer Paul Novinsky, I'm Chad Holmes. Coming up, we will talk about week number 4 in the high school football season. Look ahead to week 5, plus special guests. At 6:40, we'll be joined by the head football coach of the Marshfield Tigers, Denny Gadel. They are getting set for a first-place showdown in the Valley Football Association on Friday night against Wausau West. And then at 7:06, it's our student-athlete guest from the Edgar High School football team, a Wildcat standout junior, Carter Butt. Big game coming up for Edgar as well on Friday, a Merrillwood Conference showdown against Colby. Well, Coach Paul Novinsky, week number 5, middle portion of the season.
It's just mind-boggling to think that this is the way it's been going. I mean, it's almost like deja vu. Like, where did all this come from? And yet it's still there. And boy, we really found out some key matchups and some key conference races, right, and some key playoff pictures.
That's actually one of the interesting things as we get into it, is that we're starting to see where some of the games, even at this point of the conference season, will have definite playoff implications. There's that level, as you said, the conference championship implications, but probably just as importantly for these teams, there are a few games that could be almost playoff eliminations.
Or you go home. The other thing, Chad, I think we don't really talk a lot about is some teams have really improved. They've gotten better offensively, defensively. They've taken care of their weaknesses, you know, and some teams haven't improved as much. And I think that's why you always tell me, gosh, these scores. And I'm like, well, Chad, one team is vastly improved and the other team hasn't.
Absolutely. And I guess as we go into our recap of last week, one of the teams that I think has improved is the Marshfield Tigers. Let's start with the VFA. They had a game against DC Everest last Friday night in Marshfield. We haven't talked about big offensive numbers for Marshfield in a long time, but they put them up last week. They knocked off DC Everest by a score of 44-29. Trevor Femmel was 10 of 16 passing, 150 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. Had 13 rushes for 185 yards and 2 scores. Defensively, some big numbers for Marshfield. Isaac Daggett, 14 tackles and 3 sacks. Jack Bobinski was solid at quarterback for Everest, 16 of 23 for 223 yards. But boy, I mean, we have talked over the last couple of years about Marshfield's and their offensive struggles. What a great night offensively for the Tigers.
Well, you know, I talked extensively to Coach Gadel, and we'll talk a little bit more about it all, but they didn't make a lot of mistakes. Now, this was a good football game. I was at the game. First of all, that stadium, you know, I got a chance to watch Mosinee Stratford, and then this game. And this was a really good football game until the third quarter, when that Marshfield quarterback just took control of the game with his feet and with his arm. He was a one-man wrecking crew, and the players around him responded. But I'll tell you where I think Marshfield has really improved is defensively. I think they gave Evers some fits. Evers couldn't run the ball consistently in the second half, and I really think that defense has really gotten better and improved. And we'll talk more about Coach Gadel. And the other thing is, I think they've gone back to some fundamental things that Marshfield was known for in the early 2000s when they were winning state championships, just things that they could hang their hat on.
Also, a big game last week in the VFA, Wisconsin Rapids bouncing back from their tough loss at West. They get the jug back as they knock off Stevens Point 34-21. Leo Brostowitz, who had a fantastic effort against West 2 weeks ago, he backed it up with an even better night last Friday. 32 carries, 306 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Teal Lucas added 14 rushes, 94 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Wisconsin Rapids only had 1 pass. It did go for a 50-yard touchdown. Braylon Smola for Stevens Point had 26 carries for 108 yards. But I think, again, if you don't slow down that Wisconsin Rapids option run game, it's a long night, and it was a long night for Spash.
The beast is healthy. Leo's just, I mean, 306. So this is, I mean, he's one guy's not going to bring him down.
No.
I mean, that's the key, and you pack that box, and then you do hit them with the pass. But, again, this was a competitive football game. I think Spash is getting better. You notice they played one quarterback. I don't think they played the two quarterbacks at all. And Rapids moved the ball. I still think all of these games can be decided by a few factors, turnovers and big plays.
Wausau West was on the road last week, went up north to Kingsford, Michigan, a game that we had right here on Bow Falls Radio. And the Warriors, for the third straight week, they come from behind to win. It was a 28-0 fourth quarter for the Warriors, who knocked off Kingsford 34-14, a fourth consecutive 100-yard-plus rushing night for Ray Reinick. The junior had 22 carries, 162 yards, three touchdowns. All three of those scores came in that 28-0 fourth quarter. Caleb Tooley and Connor Kalmus had nine tackles each for Wausau West. Will Mitchell and DeAndre Gillespie, seven tackles apiece as well. It was a good defensive effort for West. One of the Kingsford scores came on a fumble return for a touchdown, so only 7 points scored by Kingsford offensively. And again, the Warriors, the run game looking very good. I think the defense looking pretty good. Need a little bit of an earlier start. I think you're playing with a little fire trailing going into the fourth quarter, but they've found ways when the chips are down to win those games.
Well, first of all, congratulations to you. Your first out-of-state game being called, right across the border.
Yeah.
But did you have to go through customs?
I'm going to tell you one thing. I don't know if I've had a better press box experience. Oh. Boy, they fed us. They gave us it was fantastic.
And
they were so nice.
It's up there.
Yes, it was
really
beautiful.
It's a beautiful field.
It was. I mean, literally, they gave me everything, and it was a beautiful press box. I was full by the time I was done.
Well, they knew who you were. But
oh no.
Your absolute, your analysis of Wausau West. We've been talking about it. I think I've been talking about it from day one. Offense, the linemen, it's their key. Defensively, I think they're getting better, but I think their lack of a play action passing game, or just a regular passing game, is going to be their demise. If they don't start developing that, you will run into a team, and you might run into it Friday, that can stop your run and where you're forced to throw the ball, and you may not be able to do it.
And again, you said it, the line play has been good, and that's both offensively and defensively.
Oh, yes.
Boy, I'm really impressed defensively. And I recall a few years ago when we had Coach Foster on after a disappointing year, mm-hmm. and he talked about the fact, and he talked about it at the banquet after that season about the importance of getting into the weight room, and you see what the results have been. I think, you know, it doesn't turn around right away. Yes, you well know, but if you start doing the right things, ultimately it does lead to better things. And I think for West, it's been really a big factor in their turnaround.
Well, it's the development of players and the development of your team is really difficult, and it takes that time, the commitment. It takes years in the weight room. It takes years to develop a passing game, and it's tradition. And I think West is getting there. I mean, first of all, they're 4-0.
Yep.
You know, last year
they cracked the top 10 in D1 this week.
They did,
even.
Haven't seen
that in a long
and
time.
I don't want to sound like super critical, but to me, if they're not eyeing a conference championship, a deep playoff run, then there's some expectation problems. And to me, you always prepare for those tough battles. You don't prepare just to beat a team. Mm-hmm. You prepare, how can I beat multiple good teams? I think they're going to have to face that challenge. And if they don't, the sand is moving fast.
I just say it's going to be an interesting next month and a half for the Warriors. I'm looking forward to it as well. So, and we will have the games right here on Bow Falls Radio with the Wausau West football team. Hortonville finally banged in the door. They banged it in hard. They knocked off Appleton West 40-8. Broden Butson was 15 of 30 for 280 yards and four touchdowns for the Polar Bears. Appleton West got 105 yards on the ground on 12 carries from Ben Velasky. But we've talked about this. This Hortonville program is perennially has some talent.
They've got talent. It's just getting it and developing it. And Chad, you've watched enough football to know that it is so delicate what you do, what kind of offense you run, what kind of defense you run, where you place players, what you do. And I think Hortonville needs to shore that up. And Appleton West is a team right now that's very much in disarray. Their coach resigned this week. It's a tough place right now. It's mm-hmm. a tough, you know, you really have got to go there. And Hortonville took advantage of it, and this could snowball. I mean, you saw what happened with Marshfield. They go beat a team, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden it's like night and day. Winning cures all illnesses, and losing creates them.
And the thing about the VFA is all these teams still have an opportunity.
Oh, anybody can do it.
It is such a tight conference. The playoff possibilities are endless for these
squads. It's one of those conferences that when you check the scores, mm-hmm. it could be like Christmas morning. There could be a surprise.
Great Northern Conference. Mozanie made the trek north and rolled Ashland 55-14. Gavin Obremski, 10 of 15, 173 through the air, 3 touchdowns. Keegan Jerschley, 5 catches, 97 yards. Our guest from last week, Davin Stoffel, he only had 3 catches, but they were all for touchdowns. So that's a 3 for 3 for Davin Stoffel. 244 rushing yards, 8.7 yards per carry. You've done this before. You make those long trips. Mozanie got off the bus, and they took care of business.
Well, I tell you, I like what I've seen the last 2 weeks from the Mozanie team. I think they're back to the basics more. They're working on things. I think they've improved things. You notice defensively they're playing better. They had issues stopping the run. I think they've got that under control a little bit. Mm-hmm. They're tackling better. They're not giving up big plays. And so that was a key. I think offensively they're much like Newman. You're going to have a hard time stopping them. But can they stop people?
Speaking of stopping, it's hard to stop the Medford run game because the Medford Raiders keep running, running, and running, and they ran past Lakeland 38-14 last week. Tucker Schreiner, 20 carries, 217 yards, 3 touchdowns. Peyton Gillis added 125 yards on the ground and a touchdown. 457 yards rushing as a team, 576 total yards as a team. Medford looking like Medford.
Well, they're not a big, you know, quick score team. They control the ball, and that's what they do. And if you can't stop the run against Medford, long night for you. So they do exactly what they need to do. And their defense, you know, when Mozanie Medford meet, It should be a really good game.
Merrill gets back to 500 at 2-2 on the season. They win the war on 64, beating Antigo 36-0. Nathan Borzanowski with 20 carries for 149 yards and 2 touchdowns for the Blue Jays. Brian Ball, very efficient at quarterback, 9 of 13 passing, 128 yards, a touchdown and a pick. And the Merrill defense was stellar, holding the Antigo offense to 18 yards of total offense. Good win for Merrill. Again, very young football team for Antigo.
Yeah, and this is a rivalry, the battle on 64. But the one thing when we had Coach Jason Wozinski said he wanted to run the ball. And he's made a commitment to that. And 2-2, you know, and he's going to continue to run the ball. Now, when you do face those tough teams, it'll be tough because they'll have guys in the box that can play. But he's committed. I think he's making steps forward. I think Merrill is making steps forward. And he goes very young. They just need to survive the season. They're playing young players.
Yeah.
And just try to finish the season and get ready for next year.
And Rhinelander finally gets their first W of the season. The Hodags use their defense to get past Hayward 14-0. Peyton Campbell, 26 rushes, 91 yards, scored both touchdowns for Rhinelander. It was a defensive struggle. Both teams were held under 200 yards of total offense, but for Rhinelander, a much-needed W.
Yeah, this was a W that could get them in the playoffs, and that was the key. And they don't have explosive players. They're just going to have to grind these games out and not have mistakes.
And defensively, they've been good this year.
Last week,
they gave up only 8 points last week and lost the game. So
they've
defensively,
been
very, very solid.
Yeah. Again, they're just not going to score a lot of points.
Exactly.
That means you can't make mistakes on offense.
We got to take a quick break. We still have more to recap in week number 4 of the high school football season. And again, coming up at 6:40, Denny Gadel, the Marshfield head coach, and 7:06, Carter Butt from Edgar, our guests coming up this week. So we'll take a quick break and be right back. It's the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back to the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Along with Paul Davinsky, I'm Chad Holmes. We are recapping the action from last week in high school football. We've gone through the Valley Football Association and the Great Northern Conference. Now, another week of Merrillwood versus Central Wisconsin Conference small crossovers. And I think it's a situation where those CWC small teams are more than ready to move out of these games.
No more bus trips.
Exactly. Edgar went to Rochelle last week. Edgar took care of business. 42-0. Carter Butt, our student athlete guest for later on in the show, 7 carries, 135 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Leighton Schuett at 2 catches, 50 yards, and 2 scores. Edgar did what Edgar had to do, and I think it shows, I think, some good sportsmanship because Rochelle has been struggling big time. Edgar's been rolling people. They did what they had to do, and I think, again, showed sportsmanship and not putting up 80 points,
frankly. You know, that's what they're all about. Most coaches are that way. And, you know, those games are great for Rosholt also because Edgar's sophomores, juniors, and freshmen played.
Right.
And they got to play. And then Rosholt was more balanced with them talent-wise. So, actually, Rosholt probably had some success after the varsity guys were taken out. So, I mean, most coaches understand that programs are at different levels.
Sure.
And this true sportsmanship is to not embarrass anybody.
Assumption, a team that we've been talking about the last few weeks, waiting for them to click.
They finally came out.
They clicked last week in a game heard here on Bow Falls Radio. They scored 30 points in the second quarter, went on to defeat the Marathon Red Raiders 51-20. Nick Lieberg, big, big day. Had 31 carries, 243 yards, and 5 touchdowns. Cooper Huxema for Marathon, 14 of 25 passing, 189 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. But that was maybe a bit of a coming out party for the Royals?
Well, again, this game was at 4 o'clock. And so you're not used to that. And it's hard to – how do you train for, hey, we got to get out of school 1 o'clock? I mean, or 2 o'clock. That's tough, and it's a lesson to learn. I wouldn't do the game. I'd say, look, if we can't play at night, then we're not playing, or let's play Saturday.
It's odd because you could play a Thursday night, you could play Saturday afternoon.
I would just tell them, no, we're not agreeing to that because, number one, it's educationally not sound.
Right.
I don't believe in having kids leave school for sporting events, but it's tough to see that. And they gave up some big plays and made some mistakes that I think they typically have not done.
Assumption, this still has a feel for a team that has the ability.
They got potential. We've been waiting for them. We've looked at some of their early scores going, guys, you should be better than that because you've got a lot of returning players. Mm-hmm. And we don't know. Somebody could be injured. We don't know if
it's a process.
We don't know.
It really is. I mean, even when there's veterans, it's still different. I mean, it really is. It's a process every year.
And when I say we don't even know, I talk to a lot of people. Some people are very tight-lipped about what's going on with their. Like, I couldn't find out why certain people weren't playing.
I know the same feeling. Auburndale, they finally gave up some points. Only 8 points. They beat Hurley 29-8. It was 8-7 Hurley at halftime, but then Auburndale came from behind to win. Trayton Weber, he's had himself a great start for Auburndale. He was 8 of 14 passing, 214 yards, a couple of touchdowns and a pick, but also on the ground. 14 carries, 148 yards, and 2 touchdowns. 8 points allowed now in 4 weeks and a 4-0 start for Auburndale.
My compliments to Jay Anderson and the Eagles. I told them if you can play with Hayward, who is a good Hurley, and you could play with them, you have developed. And I tell you.
Now the road.
They and up there.
Yep.
Almost where you were.
North.
But my point is, I think I'm looking forward to when Auburndale plays Edgar and when they play Colby because they have proven to me that they're a team that's ready to take that next step. And I'm going to be excited. I think they're going to make some noise.
I agree, 100%. There's going to be a lot of fun games.
Compliments to them.
There's going to be a lot of fun games in the Merriwood. Because
I think that's one of the toughest conferences we're facing right now.
And another team that's right there off to a fantastic start is Abbotsford. And they put up numbers on the ground that me and you were talking, we have not seen before. Abbotsford defeated Iola Scandinavia last Friday, 63-27. Freshman Christian Fuentes had 373 yards rushing. But he was not alone. JV Castillo had 185 yards rushing in that game. And Abbotsford as a team, 650 yards rushing as a squad. Parker Gullickson had 151 yards and 2 scores on the ground for Iola. But 650 yards rushing as a team. That's amazing.
I don't even know if I can go that way in my car. You know, I mean, but it does tell you Abbotsford's getting better.
Undefeated. I mean,
the kid that rushed that is a young player.
I know.
And you know what? Some coaches don't like to play young players right away. This kid might be great, but they may say, hey, play JV. Let's get yourself worked up. I mean, his coming out party was humongous.
Absolutely. Colby, who has their big game against Edgar this week, they took care of business, defeating Loyal 48-8. Caden Healy, 8 rushes, 157 yards, 3 touchdowns. Tucker Meyer, 5 of 7, 110 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. Colby, I mean, they're machine-like right now. They're just consistently excellent, aren't they?
Yeah, and from a team that you think that shouldn't be, but again, much like those good teams, their varsity plays a half last year, and then their JV played a half. Mm-hmm. So these kids played a full JV game and a half of varsity. Well, they're getting better. I mean, this is a team that I cannot wait Friday to watch that Edgar Kobe game. It is going to be – I'm going to have to stream it, but it's going to be a barn burner.
It will be definitely one, and I think it might be our game of the week. You have to wait and see to see if it's our game of the week coming up a little bit later on in the program. And the other CWC Small versus Merriwood crossover, Pittsville, they defeated Pacelli 26-12. Big night for Dylan Luther for the Panthers. 29 rushes, 160 yards and a touchdown. Brock Bierenkot for the Pacelli Cardinals rushed 17 times for 76 yards. Pittsville's been playing some tight football games the last few weeks, and they were able to
win this one.
Go through it.
Yeah, I compliment second-year coach there. He's got things going. They were young when I watched them. They're a team that's definitely making some noise.
CWC Large, and this may have been the game of the week last week because I was doing my game, and every time I see an update, it would be Whitburn scoring, then Amherst responding back and forth, and then in the end, it came down to a last-second field goal, and for the third time in a row, just an incredible game. Amherst went to Wittenberg, handed the Wittenberg-Burnhamwood Chargers their first loss of the season, 31-28. Big night for Matthew Gladowski. Boy, he put it up some great numbers. 10 of 12 passing, 140 yards and a couple of touchdowns, 21 carries, 121 yards, two touchdowns. David Goderman, the outstanding Wittenberg-Burnhamwood back, had 18 carries for 187 yards and a touchdown. Before you actually talk about the result, isn't it great to have the when these two teams come together, you know you're going to get your money's worth.
Yeah, fireworks. Wittenberg rushed for over 300 yards. It just they made some mistakes, some penalties, a turnover. And against a team like Amherst, who's very well coached, you can't do that.
And the thing is, you talked about it so many times in these kind of games, it really is mistakes, isn't it?
One mistake. And it's because it's field position. Most high school teams and even pros in college, it's turnovers. Turnovers. Mm-hmm. Turnovers because you get the short field.
Also last week, Shiacton battled hard against Stratford, but Stratford in the end wins 21-7. Kaylor Kilty, a big night for the Stratford Tigers. Kilty had 30 rushes for 243 yards and a touchdown. Dawson Schmidt for Shiacton was 17 of 33 passing, 144 yards, but he did throw two interceptions.
That running back from Stratford is really coming into his own. I watched him. He's good. I think he's getting better. I mean, just a dominant runner.
Wyoega Fremont is 4-0 on the season. Wow, Wyoega Fremont, and they did the job big time against Spencer Columbus last week. They continue to be impressive, not only with the wins, but how they're doing it. 42-7. It was actually a fairly tight game at halftime. It was 14-7, but then Wyoega Fremont outscored Spencer Columbus 28-0 in the second half. Cameron Zilke, 10 of 14 passing, 180 yards and three touchdowns. You love to see this because you love seeing these teams that have struggled get some success. It makes things, I think, a lot more interesting. But within that program, boy, can you imagine the excitement right now, what's going on there?
The school, think about it. First-year coach, they've had a history of not winning conference games or even games. Mm-hmm. We're 4-0 right now. We're rolling. We get two more wins, and we're in the playoffs. and they haven't done that for probably 14, 15 years.
You know, and also, again, sometimes the schedule works out for you.
It does in this case.
And I think the reason I say it works out is because they're getting this opportunity to build. You said it with a new coach, being able to build with some confidence with wins. And then when they do face some of these top dogs in the conference, they have that little bit of swagger when they hit the field.
I got to tell you, they're putting up 40 points a game. I mean, that's serious offense. I don't care who you're playing.
Right.
And I would tell you, watch out. Let's see what happens in the next few weeks.
Serious offense in the game between Manawa and Nakusa last week. There were 40 points scored in the first quarter alone, and then things slowed down a little bit, and Manawa ultimately won by a score of 40-28. In the losing effort, a huge night for Nakusa back Jonathan Wenzel. He had 25 carries, 251 yards, three touchdowns for the Papermakers, but Manawa gets the road win.
And again, if you love offense, these games are great. I mean, think of all those points in the first quarter. You can't even go to the concession stand.
Eight-player last week, Central Northern Border Crossovers, a game that I had here on Bull Falls Radio on Saturday. Newman Catholic defeated Wabino Leona 49-14. The rush game came up huge for the Cards. Thomas Bates, 264 yards on 24 carries, two touchdowns. Connor Crock, 19 rushes for 167 yards and three touchdowns. And Ben Hardesty, boy, the defensive end for the Cardinals, had a monster game. He was in the backfield all day long. He had four quarterback sacks for the Cards. Cardinals do it so many different ways. You talked about what Coach Mikulic is able to do. If they need to pass it against a certain team, they'll pass it. If they need to run it, they'll be able to run it. And the defense, again, I thought was very good.
This is a multiple offense that it'll be very difficult to shut down. Again, this was a statement, Chad. This was a statement for all the other eight-man football teams, because I really think Leon Wabino may be the first, second, third, or fourth best team besides the Cardinals. This was a statement. Come and get us.
Three Lakes edges Port Edwards, 24-20. Timmy Tranel at 217 yards passing, 118 yards rushing for Port Edwards, but not enough. Josh Colger, 144 yards rushing for Three Lakes. That was an interesting game because I think those were two teams that were both
fighting it out,
be second in their conferences, so a very even matchup.
Yeah, and it was a good, entertaining game. And Port had a chance to win. It just couldn't get it in the end.
Almond Bancroft rolled over Niagara 48-6. White Lake Elko 48-6 over Boulder Gresham. Florence 46-0 over Tri-County. Again, there is, I think, in eight-player, you got some really good teams, but there's a pretty big gap between the haves and the have-nots.
Well, especially when you go to the West, those are the teams I think that – they definitely need to watch out for that. That old Cloverwood teams, I think, are going to make some noise in the playoffs.
Speaking of which, the CWC East, which features five of the former Cloverwood teams, had their crossovers with the CWC West. Athens stays undefeated. Boy, Athens has really put their arms around the eight-man game very effectively. They beat Bruce 30-8. Kyler Ellenbecker, 107 yards, two touchdowns rushing. Aiden Yockey, 103 yards rushing. Athens has set themselves up for a big conference showdown this week.
Oh, big. And, you know, I love it when you say they put their arms around it, because this is a team that I think they've won, lost maybe one, two games since they went eight, man. I mean, that's impressive.
I mean, it's been very, very impressive.
I mean, good for them. Good for
absolutely.
Their community.
And same for Owen Withy. They were struggling with numbers, struggling with on the field. They have come to the eight-player game, and they are now undefeated and a good win on the road at McDonald. McDonald is a solid team. 44-25. Trayton Tesmer, 194 yards rushing. Colin Dahlman, 136 yards rushing. It's like the old days for Terry Lobby and his team.
Yeah, and I'm thinking Thursday of possibly going to watch them play, because I just like to see what they're all about.
And that's going to be a great matchup. We'll talk a little bit more about it later on. Thorpe, also another former Cloverwood team, doing a nice job. They shut out New Auburn 36-0. These teams all have been very impressive.
Yeah, it's good, hard, physical football. You know it well. You called it for a number of years. I think just because you've taken two tackles out, they're still doing it.
The mentality is still there.
Yeah.
And Gilman is doing what Gilman does. Boy, they just win, and they win in big. 61-0 over Cornell. this is a loaded league, isn't it?
Big time. And I think they're going to make some noise in the playoffs, and I think people need to watch out for them.
Rough night for Greenwood. Boy, oh boy. These are the nights where you get on the bus and you're thinking, let's go to bed, because Prairie Farm knocked off Greenwood 74-0. Wow.
Well, Prairie Farm is a good football
team. Yes, they are.
I mean, when they had that jamboree, they were really solid. And Greenwood's young. They're playing young kids.
That's a recap of the Week 4 action. We'll look ahead to some great conference matchups in Week 5 a little bit later in the program. But coming up, we got to take a quick break. We have our guests. Coming up at 7:06, we'll be talking to Carter Butt, outstanding Edgar Wildcat Jr., in front of their game against Colby. But coming up next, we're going to talk to the head football coach of the Marshfield Tigers, in a two-way tie for first place in the Valley Football Association, two undefeateds in conference. They have a big one against the other undefeated Wausau West on Friday. We'll be talking to Denny Gadel coming up next. It's the Big High School Sports Show with Paul Davinsky. I'm Chad Holmes. More to come here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9. And welcome back. It is the Big High School Sports Show on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Online at BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. With Paul Davinsky, I'm Chad Holmes. Again, coming up in a little bit, we'll have our student-athlete guest from Edgar High School, Carter Butt, at 7:06. But right now, we are very happy to welcome the head football coach of the Marshfield Tigers, coming off a nice win over DC Everest, getting set for another Valley Football Association showdown against Wausau West on Friday. Happy to welcome back to the program, Denny Gadel. Coach, again, thank you for spending a few minutes, and congrats on the big win last week.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate you guys having me. I almost missed the call, man. My phone said silence call, so I had pushing buttons all over the place here.
Well,
glad I got back through.
Hey, this is Coach Minsky. At least you found your phone.
Hey, ski. I don't need to hear any of that stuff. Happens when you get older.
That's right. You are the dinosaur now.
Oh, thanks a lot. I appreciate that. You know,
He's one of the oldest coaches in the league.
Well, yeah, and the old guys all around the state are just, you know, jumping off the boat just like you, like rats going for the ocean, you know what I'm saying?
But, you don't become an old coach without a lot of success. You got to say that right off the top, right there.
Well, let's hope it keeps continuing. How's that?
Well, Coach, let's talk about some success. Last week, a big game against DC Everest on your home field. And one thing that I imagine that when you went to bed on Friday night that put a big smile on your face after a couple of years where it felt like every week was a bit of a struggle to get offense going, to get points on the board, to put up the numbers both in terms of yardage and points in that 44-29 win over the Evergreens, that had to be just really a good feeling for everybody involved, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, it's been a while, but, you know, you it ebbs and flows of high school football. You know, you get the kids sometimes, and sometimes you got to try to work harder with kids you have and athletes that you've been given. I mean, we're not out recruiting. We're not, you know, going to, you know, Mississippi or Texas and recruiting kids to come to Marshfield, you know that. But you work with what you got and do the best you can with what you know. And these kids that we got this year are a pretty good group of kids. They've been, you know, together a long time. And again, you know, they stay 30 strong about kids coming out for football in their class every year. So after a while, you know, you put it together and they made things happen last week against Everest. And hopefully we can continue the momentum going forward against West this week.
Coach, I was at the game. I didn't get my pizza or red carpet or anything like that. But what have you learned in four games? I mean, you played two teams non-conference that were pretty tough teams. What did you learn about your team so far?
Well, I guess there's a whole lot to learn. You know who the guys are that you're going to go to in the time of need. You know those kids, and they're rising to the top like the cream they should. You also know who's going to bear down in the times of stress and who you're going to count on. You know the guys that are going to lead. You know the guys that are going to, you know, take the bull by the horns and steer it this way and get our team back on track. And you know the guys that are going to fight and play through a little bit of injury. You know the guys that are going to not whine about things. You know the kids that are not caring about, do I get the ball or am I going to get the tackle? Am I going to get the blitz? Am I going to get the catch? Blah, blah, blah. And we're finding that out. And I like the way the kids are handling themselves. I like where we're at. And, they're finding their way. They're finding their spot and their purpose on our team. And, you know, we're gonna make this happen. And we're finding that less is more. Isn't that amazing? People always say that less is more. I mean, we've trimmed down the playbook. We've said, here's what we're going to do, and let's get this done and do the best you can at it. So I think that's helping, and that's another big takeaway and a big learn is that less is more. And I learned that no matter what we do, our defense is tough and our defensive staff is tremendous working with what they have. Every year they seem to just keep working with what they got and making the scheme work, and it's happening. So if we can keep doing what we're doing on offense and defense, you know, stays as stout as they are with what they got, I think we're an okay football team. I mean, we're going to get some first downs. Let's hope we score more touchdowns than the other team.
Coach, speaking, stepping up, the second half for your quarterback was unreal. I mean, he really put on a key performance.
You know, we talk a lot about developing him. We're together all the time, and he's a great kid. He stops in at the classroom and things like that, and we talk, and you got to keep him pumped up, and you got to keep him, his nerves down. He's an ultra smart kid. I mean, he's going to be a doctor someday. Just got to keep him away from being his own worst enemy. How's that? Because the kid can drop back and tell you what the defense is doing, but the only thing is sometimes it takes him a little bit too long because he's telling you what the defense is doing instead of just being the athlete that he can be, because he's a good athlete. And you saw it when he took off running for like a 70-yard touchdown run, maybe, yeah. And another 30, whatever. I mean, he's really a great runner. I mean, you see it, and he's physical and he's tough. You know, he's a 195-pound kid that can run. So very talented and very blessed to have him playing our leadership role out there on the offense. So we're going to make him work, and we're going to ride that guy as far as he can take us. So that's a kid that is, you know, high on our list, and we're going to him to do a lot of things.
And that is Trevor Femmel at 150 yards through the air, 185 on the ground, responsible for 5 touchdowns against Everest last week. Looking at your numbers, it's not just Trevor that's providing some work on the ground. It looks like you got a couple of other kids who are putting up some pretty good numbers as well. Having a little balance on the ground has to be something that's helping the offense as well.
Well, you know, we kind of looked at what we had, and like everybody does, even Ski at Mosinee was the guy that looked at what we have and played to the best of our ability with what we have. And we got a few good linemen. We got a few good running backs, and we're going to try to – it might be maybe a little bit hard to give everybody the football all the time that's a running back, but we're going to try to pound it. And we got some little thicker kids, and we're going to have a fullback, and we got a tight end for the first time in 4 or 5 years. So it's a big change, and you kind of got to – you got to go backwards to where we were a few years ago when we were, you know, 2000s and we had tight ends and we were, you know, playing power football and winning some games, because it makes that quarterback job a whole lot easier when you got a running game behind you that we can turn around and hand the ball off to a kid. And the linemen are making some holes and he's making his own holes, and quarterback can kind of drop back and, you know, pick his spots and help us win, not try to win the whole game by himself. So,
I coach,
taking a little bit more. Yeah.
Coach, I know every victory is good and sweet, but when you went to bed Friday, you must have been saying, ha ha, because you were picked to almost finish last in the conference by a lot of people in the state. I mean, your kids must be saying, we got something to prove.
Well, I think we were 9 Wausau East, and then they found out they didn't have a team, and then we just moved up one. So,
lucky you.
Lucky us. So yeah, we're picked, you know, second from the bottom. That's okay though. Those are momentum builders and help you motivate the team. And I kind of talked to them all about that. And we talked about that, those articles and people saying things, because it really doesn't matter. You can be picked first and lose every game also. So you got to play the football game, and every Friday night the lights turn on and you get to go show what you can do. So talk about, it's a little motivation. Yes, it was. And we're going to do our best to not be that bottom team. And, you know, we got to win one at a time. You know, that's the old cliche. But, you know, the next game's a conference championship game, and the next game after that's another one. So we get to keep doing this. And every game's our Super Bowl. Every game's our conference championship. So that's kind of the mantra we're going with this year. And hopefully the kids can follow and live up to the game last week.
Again, we're talking to Marshfield Tiger head football coach Denny Gadel here on the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com and mobile devices by searching WXCO. Defensively, I imagine Isaac Daggett was a little sore after the game. 14 tackles, 3 sacks, putting up some big numbers early, but generally you've got some number of kids who have really stepped up nicely early in the season defensively, haven't you?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, again, Lenny and the crew on the defensive side of the football, they come out every year and do amazing things. You know, we lost a guy on the coaching staff this year and brought in another new coach, and he's very, very knowledgeable, been all around the states, and he's, you know, he's teaching at our school. So he's brought a lot to our system. Brent Ritter's the name, and, you know, Johnny Boyle's still over there, Ben Corcoran, and the guys that are they're working in Matt Emmerfall, their defensive back guys, they just come together and, you know, I mean, what they do and what they get kids to do, it's really, you know, something short of amazing. But we don't have, you know, 195, 200-pound linebackers. You know, they're the perfect Marshfield kid, 5'10", 5'11", 185 pounds. Here we go. So they make it work. You know, they're going to cause havoc in the backfield and just stay after you like a, you know, bunch of rabid dogs, I guess you could say, if you talk about that, because they're going to get after you. And they do really well with what they're taught and how they're coached. And Daggett, on the other hand, he's a different breed. The kid's awesome. Not only a great football player, just a great human being and a great man. Nothing but 100%, you know, all the time, every play. And come to say how injured he was, I mean, he played on I think it was a high ankle. I can't do that because of other things that people talk about. But he played on an ankle that was really sore last week. And I think maybe he's taking out his aggression on the quarterback when he got there, because, you know, the Everest guy, we got to him a couple times last week, so, and most of it was by Daggett, but they're really playing well, and I'm super excited for those guys.
Let's talk about the Valley Association Conference. What's your take so far on it?
Well, I think we're right up there with teams. You never know when you could have injuries. And, you know, like I said, we're probably like a lot of people. You're one injury away from being a whole lot worse than you are. But I do believe that this next game is a conference championship game. And when we play the next bunch of teams, we're scrapping and fighting, Ski. I mean, a great game last week, but you know what? Next week's a brand new game, and Friday night's a brand new game. So we got to, you know, we're working the best we can every practice we have. I wasn't real happy tonight with a whole bunch of practice, but, you know, I had to tell them, you think you're that good, you guys? I mean, you lost two games already. You're not that good. You had to bring them back down to earth here tonight. And, you know, hopefully it gets better tomorrow night's pregame. So we'll see how things go.
And Friday night, it is Wausau West at Tom Field. Both your squads are 2-0 in the VFA. Looking at the Warriors, obviously a team that likes to run the football, looks like a team that's good up front. How do you feel like you match up? Especially, let's start off with your defense against their offense. West has been able to run the ball very effectively so far this season. How do you see that matchup?
Well, again, when you got two teams that want to pound it at each other, we'll see how this does work out. It's going to be a boxing match, and we'll see how it goes. I mean, they got some bigs up front. We'll give them the best we can. We're gonna do all kinds of things to get them out of their rhythm. Hopefully that you know, we can stop them on some plays and get some three and outs and things like such. If we can't, we'll take a 5 and out or a 6 and out either way. But got to get them stopped. I think we'll match up. We have some bigs on our side of the ball too on defense and offense. I feel pretty good about our offense right now. If they can play the way they did last week, but again, it's another week. And who knows what's gonna happen. Who knows what? It's high school, and they're high school kids, just like anybody. But it's going to be a good game, and I hope that you know, people that get to come and watch or watch online, like, you know, Ski's getting pretty lazy. He's sitting back on his couch drinking Coke and eating pizza, and he's watching football games on the computer now. So
that's because I didn't have any at Marshfield.
Well, I tell you what, they ran out. You didn't get down there fast enough. That's what happened.
True, I'm getting old.
You got to move quicker, man. I tell you what. But,
it's hard. It's hard, Danny.
It goes, you know. Yeah.
Speaking of hard, you know, the one thing I was pretty impressed with is your special teams. I thought your special teams, and I think Friday's special teams might play a pretty big role in the outcome of this game.
Well, I think it always does, and that's another big one that, you know, Coach Len and his defensive guys, you take over all the special teams. I mean, we had a couple offensive guys just working on return guys, but the defense is really taking care of all of our special teams, and Len does – that's his baby. He loves that stuff. And every time he gets out to work a drill, it's like, we're scoring a touchdown. Punt return, kick return, whatever, we're scoring a touchdown. And every play, when they return a kick, it's all or nothing. We're going to the end zone. And that's the way we practice, and that's where we do things. So there's all kinds of different returns. He doesn't just have one. And the kids all understand that. And, you know, we don't put a lot of number ones out there. Our special teams are earning their stripes, and they're earning their spots, and they're getting out there trying to prove to coaches that they belong and that, you know, they work their butts off to be on the special teams because it's special. So try to make it that way, and hopefully it does. I hope it does, Ski, tell you that we're going to get a big one on a special team tonight or Friday night. So that would be great. I'll take one.
And again, something you said earlier, talking about kids who – grab, you know, the bull by the horns. You talk about the work ethic. Are those a couple of the building blocks, the foundation for what Marshfield football and the program is all about? I mean, is that where it begins?
There's no doubt. I mean, we have these kids all through, you know, from junior high on up, youth football, everybody, like every program does. And I'm a big guy about numbers. I want everybody in the high school to play football. I'm constantly walking up and down the halls recruiting kids, you know, come on, what can I do for you to help you want to play football? I mean, they hate me when they walk. Sometimes kids are running the other way when they see me coming because they don't want to talk to me anymore. But you kind of have to understand that once we get you, we're expecting things out of you. And like everybody in every football program, we're trying to make you a better person, better guy, and making your life a little bit more maybe disciplined, if you want to say that. Because of the fact of what we do. I mean, our weight room is our weight room, and that's what we do. It's not spectacular. It's not as big as all of the schools in our conference. I know that we're not big in the weight room with the size, but we get guys in and we're rotating a lot of dudes through. So it is a work ethic thing, and we push you. We want to make you better, and we want to make you good for Marshfield. That's what we're out here to do. And winning is part of our tradition, hopefully, now. I mean, I know we've been down a little bit, but they got to look back and look at history. So we're trying to make it come back and make it Marshfield football great again.
We got just under 2 minutes to go. Coach, do you have any final questions?
What do you think is going to be one key Friday for you to for your team to play well?
One key. Well, I hope that Tom Field isn't muddy. I hope it's hoping get in the locker rooms and on time, and I hope we can, you know, warm up right, and I hope we can get off the ball, and I hope we can not have penalties, and I hope, you know, all those things that you want. That's the thing that's going to help us play well. But we gotta own the line of scrimmage for as best we can offensively, and defensively we gotta make some plays that, you know, maybe we didn't expect to make, and you gotta have those things happen. A turnover here and there is going to be humongous in this football game, because you got to have the football to score. Not really, I guess, because you can pick passes and score. Defense, Lenny likes that stuff, but we got to hold the football and control the football.
Coach, really appreciate your time again. Congrats on the nice win last week against Everest. Look forward to seeing your team in action on Friday night, as our radio station here will have the game of on the airwaves. I wish you some good luck on Friday night, but thank you very
Wait
much
a
for
minute,
coming on.
Tom, hey, you turkey, I'll tell you what.
Hey, best of luck, Coach.
You better wish him for both. Steve, get that guy tuned up.
He does the game. He announces for West. I have no control over this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I do the voice of the Warriors. So, but we try to get we spread the wealth around Central Wisconsin. So it's always great to have you on board. Really, Coach, thank you again.
You bet. Thanks for
Coach.
Coach Denny Gadel of the Marshfield Tigers. Again, we'll have Marshfield and West right here on Bow Falls Radio on Friday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:40. We got to take a break. We'll have a news update, and then Carter Butt next. And welcome back. It's hour number two of the Big High School Sports Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Thanks again to Denny Gadel, the Marshfield Tiger head football coach, for joining us in the last segment. Coming up a little bit later on in this hour, we will preview week 5 of the high school football season. But right now, we are very happy to welcome our student-athlete guest for this week from the Edgar Wildcats. 4-0 start to the season. Big game coming up against Colby on Friday night, Carter Butt. And Carter, first of all, thank you for spending a few minutes with us on a busy week.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me, Coach.
Well, we're going to talk about this season before we talk about the big game. Your team has come out and been very impressive in the first 4 games, allowing a total of 7 points defensively, putting up some great numbers offensively. As you've looked back at the first 4 weeks, so what has especially clicked for your team to get you off to such a good start?
I think our defense has kind of led us to all of our wins so far. We've played pretty sound, you know, technical defense, and, you know, good defense leads to great offense, so we kind of focus on having a great defense, and then offense and special teams kind of follow that.
Carter, this is Coach Navinsky. We've talked about this in the past. What do you think are the key elements of Edgar's defense or Edgar's philosophy that kind of just makes it an outstanding defense? Every year, you're shutting people out, and it seems to be your trademark. What do you think are some of the key factors in just creating that defense?
Yeah, I think it starts up front with our defensive coordinator, Greg Strait. He does a great job every week making a great game plan, and the 11 guys on the field just kind of know what to expect with the team, different formations, tendencies, stuff like that. And, yeah, we kind of just kind of know what's going on out there and do our best to call out, help other guys out there, and just make it easy for everyone.
Now, Carter, I think you play safety, correct?
Middle linebacker.
Oh, middle linebacker, okay. I noticed that it's amazing the number of tackles everybody in the team has. It's almost like a swarming type defense.
Yeah, we definitely pride ourselves on, you know, gang tackling, especially big, tough running backs like one we're going to face this week. And, yeah, just having guys gang up on people kind of adds those stats, I guess.
your mentality defensively. I was looking at some of your numbers early in the campaign. 10 tackles against Lakeland, 9 against Stratford, 9 against Pacelli, really coming out and setting the tone early. As a two-way player, I think, you know, sometimes you have to have your the mentalities a little differently offensively and defensively. What's your mentality on the defensive side of the football? Are you one of those true attackers from the middle linebacker position, or are you more cerebral to be in that right position? What's your take on the defensive side of the football?
Yeah, I'd probably pride myself as an attacking linebacker. I always try to, like, outplay or outperform the other guy on the field, like the running back or the quarterback. And yeah, I definitely think I'm a downhill, hit you in the backfield type of guy.
And also defensively, when you do you take what you know offensively? Because you, as on the offensive side, have to know what's going on completely in terms of running your offense and what the defense is trying to do to slow you down. Are you able to take what you use to be successful offensively to try to slow down your opponents defensively?
Yeah, for sure. As a running back, you're looking for holes every play. So on the other side, I'm trying to prevent those holes from, you know, happening, and just trying to plug that and kind of stop their running game from, you know, taking off.
You know, Carter, you're not a small kid. You're 215 pounds. You know, I mean, you must really pride yourself on kind of putting the smack down on people.
Yeah, it's always fun to hit someone as hard as you can. It's legalized assault pretty much.
Is that the mentality you also have on offense?
Yeah, for sure. I'm always looking for contact, but this year I'm starting to look for more cutback lanes and juking people out, but it's always fun to run someone over.
You're averaging 100 yards a game, 7 touchdowns. I mean, and your offense is one of efficiency. It's not one that is going to, like, go up and put 60 points on. You don't make mistakes. You don't turn the ball over. You guys are very efficient offensively.
Yeah, for sure. Edgar football's always been that way. We try to spread the ball around as much as we can, but big games, if we need a couple yards, they're always going to go to the, you know, the big guy who they think that can get the short yardage. And it's fun to spread the ball around because your buddies are out there and they're having a fun time too, getting yards, scoring touchdowns, and yeah, it's pretty fun.
Again, we're talking to Edgar Wildcat Jr. Carter Butt here on the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 online at bullfallsradio.com and mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Carter, so far this season, you've had 3 games that have been, I guess you call them one-sided affairs against Lakeland, Pacelli, and Rochelle. Then you had that game against Stratford in week 2, 14-0 game. What did you find out in that game? Again, a challenge against a longtime rival, a terrific opponent. I imagine having that kind of game early on to be put in some different situations was significant.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's always nice to get tested early, kind of see where you're at. And it's fun to play the teams that you know you could beat by 30, 40. But playing Stratford early was honestly great because we could kind of test ourselves and make sure we kind of knew where we were at.
What'd you find out? Especially defensively, you had to shut out Stratford. Kilty's such a terrific back himself. What did you find out in that game, first on the defensive side, then offensively, in that game where you got challenged? To be able to shut out Stratford is just an incredibly impressive performance. What specifically did you find out about the 2022 version of your team by being able to do that?
I think from the Stratford game, we learned that our defense is up there with, you know, some of the better defenses we've ever had at Edgar, and we kind of know what's going on out there, and we're playing smart on every single play, and we know that we can stop the other team, even if they have a great offense, great quarterback, passing game. We can stop anything that's coming at us.
Speaking of smart, your quarterback, who's a junior, Teagan, I mean, he's very efficient. 1 interception, 4 touchdowns. He seems to manage the game well.
Oh, yeah. Teague, he's a smart guy. And, you know, being a little undersized, you got to make up for that somewhere. And he really does a great job of knowing where people need to be, what they need to do on every play. And it's nice having a guy who's, you know, one of the smartest in the school under the center.
Are you making a push to be quarterback? Because your completion ratio is 100% and you've thrown for a touchdown. Do you, like, Coach Sins, I'm here. Do you fight for that?
Well, not necessarily. It's fun to throw it every now and then.
Were those halfback passes?
Yeah, but I don't think I could do that every play now.
Well, you are 100%.
Yeah, you're right.
He's just trying to cause trouble here, so
no, not at all.
Carter, we'll talk a little bit more about the game against Colby coming up, and also just generally about football. But let's step away. Do you participate in other sports at Edgar?
Yeah, I'm a basketball player. Played it since first, second grade, and ran track since middle school. So yeah, I try to stay involved throughout the whole year.
What position in basketball do you play?
Oh well. I don't really have a set position, but I'd probably call myself like a small forward, a real small forward.
Are you a rebounder, get out there and get my fouls type of guy?
I'm more of a guy who's going to find the open guy and create shots for other players. I don't really like shooting myself.
So these days, it's really, very busy when you're a multi-sport athlete, when you're a three-sport athlete, because often – and with Edgar, you often make a deep run in the postseason. Then, of course, the basketball season, you've had some very successful teams at Edgar as well in recent years. And then, of course, spring sports. Are you able to carry momentum from one season to the next in terms of what you do in any of these sports?
Yeah, it definitely helps never really having an off season, I guess. And having a successful football year carries into basketball because you kind of feel like you're the man. But obviously, there's going to be a little rust at the beginning of every season, but I think the confidence from the other season that carries the new one always helps.
When you do have that free moment, which doesn't come a lot, what do you like to do outside of school and sports?
Just hanging out with my friends always kind of brings me joy. I like to just sit back and relax every now and again because don't get much of it these days.
Again, we're talking to Carter Butt from the Edgar Wildcats here on the Big High School Sports Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. What's your favorite class in school?
Probably sociology. Teacher's amazing.
Hmm. Who's the teacher?
Mr. Skolitsky. He's from Wausau, but he makes me feel at home.
A foreigner.
You forgive him for being from Wausau, huh?
Yeah, I got you.
Well, let's turn our attention to this week. It's homecoming in Edgar. A lot of festivities going on, right? And you've got a big-time conference rival. They beat you last year. They won a state championship. The Hornets are coming to town. This has got to be a big week.
Yeah, for sure. The energy and the atmosphere in school, it's definitely different than every other week. And usually homecoming week, you're not playing a tough opponent like we are with Colby this week. So everything's kind of amped up and we got to stay focused.
In your preparation, obviously you got the coaches giving you the game plan. You're looking at the video of what they've been able to accomplish. What's jumped out about Colby? What are some of the things that they do that, number one, you're going to have to slow down, and number two, that they do really well?
They keep it pretty simple on offense, only run about five formations, but they got a lot of quick, fast guys, Lopez, Healy, Rue, they're all pretty quick and athletic, and the quarterback's got a pretty good arm, and we got to keep him hemmed in, but yeah, offensively, they definitely spread it around a lot. They got touchdowns kind of everywhere, and they got a pretty tough O-line also. They got a good right guard, Zamora, and right tackle, Stitchin. Defensively, they're pretty tough, too. They kind of run a 42, like with a rover kind of moving around. So kind of keep you on your toes with that, and should be interesting.
Carter, you probably should be a coach. Those are the same analysis. I've watched Colby play and scrimmage. Their defense really pressures a lot. I mean, they're going to blitz you. They're going to man you up. They're going to play cover zero, no safeties. Big plays could be a difference in this game.
Yeah, that was pretty much the difference last year. I think almost every single touchdown was over 20 yards. So I'm anticipating big plays are going to change the game for sure.
I want to ask you quickly before we move forward. Last year, Edgar did not go as deep as they normally do. Had a loss at Hurley in the postseason. The way that your team has come out this season, is there a little chip on the shoulder? Is there a look to get Edgar back to Camp Randall Stadium this season after coming up a little bit shorter than normal last year?
Yeah, definitely. Every time we don't win state, you know, next season we're always focused on that and kind of carrying the result of the year before into the next season and kind of taking that with us and knowing that if we do stuff a certain way, it's going to turn out how last year did, and we don't want to end up like that again.
What do you think is going to be the key Friday night?
I think if we can play penalty-free, smart football, and kind of do our jobs defensively, everything else will follow through. Our offense will start picking up, and big plays on special teams will help too. We've had a couple great returns this year, and if we keep that up, I'm sure that the game will go our way.
Have you been thinking about plans after high school? You thinking of college, career, maybe continuing on with your football career?
Yeah, I've definitely looked forward to that a little bit. College football has always kind of been the goal for me ever since a little kid watching Saturday football games. But, yeah, that's the goal right now.
And I know that ultimately you probably won't get to make the decision. Would you rather play offense or defense at the next level?
I'd say offense. And defense is always fun, but offense has kind of been my calling. I feel like I'm more naturally gifted at it than defense, but if I could go either way, I would. Both ways.
Well, one quick question before we let you go. I know you got a busy week. You know, obviously you're one of the leaders on the team. If some kid in the hallway and Edgar comes up to you and says, "Hey, Carter, I need some advice, life advice," what would you tell him?
Well, I'm not the most wise guy out there, but if someone did, I would probably tell them, keep going. There's always light at the end of the tunnel. And, you know, if you keep pushing through it, good things will come. And you just got to trust.
That's good advice.
And I think, actually, some of the smartest people around are the ones that know their limitations in terms of not coming across as saying, "I know everything about everything." I think that is a great sign of maturity. And as you learn more and more and more, I think that to hold on to something like that is a very good thing indeed. So,
well, Carter, best of luck on Friday, and hope you survive homecoming.
Thank you.
I hope you get your family and friends in there. I imagine it's going to be a packed house on Friday night, huh?
Yeah.
Get there early.
Yep.
Carter, again, thank you very much for joining us. And as Coach said, best of luck on Friday, and hope to have you on again in the future.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Carter Butt of the Edgar Wildcats, our student-athlete guest this week here on the Big High School Sports Show. We're going to take a break. We're going to start to look forward. And Edgar and Colby is just one of the big games that we'll be talking about when we come back with more. Again, the Big High School Sports Show on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. It's the Big High School Sports Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com and mobile devices by searching WXCO. Coach, we were just talking off the air that we had two good ones. Sometimes we get guests that make our jobs so very easy. Both Denny Gatel and Carter Butt did that for us tonight.
Again, I say it all the time. I don't want to be redundant, but I think it's one of the better segment we do on this show, just because you now got insight into Marshfield, you got insight into Edgar, and you get to hear firsthand what's going on. And, you know, forget quotes, it was direct.
Exactly. And both these
tremendous
guests, terrific, and they both have some big games coming up, which we'll talk about a little bit later on.
And Chad, that's the thing. Both are playing very important games, yet took time out of their schedule to share with us. Good people.
Yeah, on a Wednesday evening after practice when they could be having dinner with their family, and they took 15 minutes to give us a little bit more insight. And we always appreciate that. And that's one of the, as Coach said, one of the best parts of this program, and one of the things that I always look for is the longer form, and to be able to delve in a little deeper, not just about the last game and the next game, but about the things that are important in terms of for a coach building a program, and for a young student athlete, the things away from the field that make them, you know, good student athletes. And that's why we always call it the student athlete interview each Wednesday night. So again, thanks both to Denny Gadel and to Carter Butt for joining us here on the program. We talked about it earlier. It is week 5 of the 11-man season. It's week 4 of the 8-player season. After week 4, they will be halfway through the 8-player season, and at halftime on Friday night or on Thursday night, whenever you're playing, it'll be the halfway point of the 11-player season. Before we talk about the games themselves, every once in a while, I like to, because you go to practices, you go to games, you try to go to a game almost every night.
I make a lot of calls.
Exactly. As we get to the halfway point, the midterms here, what are some of the things that it could be teams, it could be players, it could be issues, it could be what's jumping out at you right now?
Again, I think it's about those teams that are getting better. Number one, Auburndale. Mm-hmm. Auburndale made a statement. This is a team that, and again, the Merrillwood Conference, I think, is a conference that people should look out for. They're tough. Edgar's defense is proving that they're a traditional Edgar. 7 points.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're a traditional defense. Wausau West running game, very dominant. Leo Brostowitz, dominant. Marshfield, getting better fast. I think we've seen some other things that traditional teams, Medford, Mosinee, continue on. And Newman. Mm-hmm. I think this might be one of, and it's hard to repeat anything,
yep,
but this might be one of the better Newman teams I've seen.
Absolutely. Going back-to-back is so difficult. And if Cardinals, obviously, at this point, have put themselves in a position to do so. And let's talk about this coming week, because with A-player, this is the start of the conference season. It's hard to believe that it's, you know, taking this long, but they have the 3 weeks of non-conference, the 5 weeks of conference. And the thing about A-player that's different than 11-player, it's not about conference being 500 or better or anything like that to make the playoffs. It's completely different. And that's I'm not a huge fan of having different playoff rules and playoff locations like that. But the thing about it is it put a lot of relevance into the first three games of the season as well.
Well, you opened up a whole new can. I don't agree with that.
I don't either.
8-man is different than 11-man. It should be the same system.
Yes.
And it should be played in the same system and everything. It's just, they're playing with three less players. And besides that, you're absolutely right. Every game counted in 8-man. In 11-man, first two games, not that big of a deal.
Exactly.
We could still lose and play some tough competition. Now the conference, where it's different. And so seeding, and only 6 teams get in. 16, so
yeah.
That's the thing. So it's like, wow, you got to watch what you and who you play. And every game, no matter who it is, counts.
Exactly right. Well, look at the A-player schedule, the Central Conference, the brand new Central Conference, the Newman Catholic Cardinals at Port Edwards on Friday. It's an early game. It's a game that will be live right here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com and mobile devices by searching WXCO. 3:40 for the pregame, 4 p.m. for the opening kickoff. Cardinals have been doing everything well, and that's one of the things that's so impressive. You can talk about teams that run the ball well, maybe have good defense and special teams. Newman has done everything
well. Every cylinder's clicking, and that's what makes them so tough. They're a coaching nightmare because you always look for weaknesses. They don't really have one.
And Port Edwards is a team that's expected to be the second-place team in this conference, and they've actually shown some moments against Newman the last couple of years, but the problem is, you can hang around Newman, and then all of a sudden there'll be a 3-touchdown explosion very quickly.
Well, they have the ability to do that, and they have the ability on defense to do that too.
And
I think Port is getting better. I just don't think they have the horses to contend. I don't think anybody in the league has the horses to contend with Newman. That's not a slam on anybody. Matter of fact, I don't even know if anybody in 8-man football can be within 14, 21 points of Newman.
And Newman Steve will be challenged by Timmy Tranel. Again, he had a nice night last week against Three Lakes. I mean, all over, 217 yards through the air, 118 on the ground. He's a kid that can make some things happen, has a potential for some big plays, and they're going to need a few big plays.
He's got experience. He's played, and he's a good athlete.
The rest of the conference, and, you know, I'm going to admit it right now, I don't know a lot about these squads, but there's been some struggling squads. You got Marion Tigerton at Boulder Gresham, Tri-County at Almond Bancroft. Right now, you have some programs that are struggling. And I guess I would ask you, if you were trying to build a program, especially at the eight-player level where you're basically, you know, you've moved to the eight-player level, you're still having some struggles, do you have any ideas on what a program needs to do to try to establish themselves?
Number one, you need to recruit. You need to find every eligible athlete that could play football. That's a year-round thing.
Mm-hmm.
What can you offer kids to attract them? Second of all, you got to be physical. You got to be in the weight room, speed developing. And the third aspect is you got to improve your skills, play other sports, work on football in the summer, go to camps, and then you got to blend all this together. And that's tough. And if you're not doing every aspect of that, chances are it'll be tough. And these programs are starting to develop these things. They're starting the weight room. They're starting to recruit. You know, I don't care if you were 4'6". If you wanted to play football, we could find a spot for you.
Absolutely.
And you need bodies. And the more bodies you can recruit, the better off you're going to be. Creates competition. And competition breeds better results.
Yep, I agree 100%. Some good matchups in the CWC East. And again, I think this will be one of the fun conferences to watch, whether eight player or 11-player. And tomorrow night starts early. Athens at Owen Withy. Both teams are undefeated. Big first conference game. Both teams have been very impressive. Both teams know how to move the football. It really has the makings of a really good game.
I'm going to be able to go to that game. Just got my schedule freed up, so I will be in Owen Withy to see them. I haven't, you know, I've seen them play in the past, but
right,
not eight man. It's going to be interesting to see how the adaption, and it's going to be awesome. Their stadium is a nice place to watch a game. You've been there. I think it's going to be a physical game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always physical.
It's going to be a Cloverwood game.
Well, it'll be a Cloverwood game.
Just take away those tackles and one of the
others. After it. And I think it's going to be exciting.
It is. I think this is going to be, you're going to find out a lot about both these teams.
Yeah.
I think that Athens, they've won these games. Owen Withy's impressed me a little bit more early in the season.
Yeah.
If Athens can go over there and win this football game, that would say a lot right there.
The one thing Athens has, they're a young team. And obviously they're not young anymore. These kids have played some games. So we'll see what happens. I think Owen Withy, I'm really interested in seeing Owen Withy's quarterback. Mm-hmm. I heard that he's a very good player. So we'll see what happens.
Greenwood at Gilman. Gilman, again, so good. Greenwood trying to lick their wounds after a tough one. That's a tough matchup for Greenwood.
They're very inexperienced. I mean, they're playing some young players. And Gilman's got some, you know, Gilman's got two really good players that you've seen him before. They're good players. And Coach Rosemeyer's got a very good program.
And Thorpe will look to stay undefeated at home against Alma Center Lincoln. Alma Center Lincoln has got to feel like they're one of these things that don't look like the other. The others are all the former Cloverwood squads, but Alma Center's a
Gilman's got something that, I mean, Gilman's got something. Thorpe's got something that Gilman's got, a Rosemeyer.
That's right.
And he's a good player. And they've done a great job, so I think they'll continue to do a great job.
We got to take a quick break, but then we're going to come back and have a look at the 11-player schedule for this week and also have our game of the week. And I think folks will know what our game of the week is. It's not going to be a surprise. Edgar on homecoming against Colby.
If you are not doing anything on Friday, I would get yourself there.
So that'll
and
be
get
the,
there early.
That'll be the game of the week, but there's plenty of other games that involve either conference championship implications or playoff implications.
And we have several on Thursday.
That is right. So we're going to talk about that coming up here on the Big High School Sports Show. On Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa. It's the Big High School Sports Show. Live every Wednesday from 6 till 8 p.m. on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by just searching WXCO. With Paul Davinsky, I'm Chad Holmes. Time to look ahead in the 11-player football week 5 schedule. And, again, we are in the midst now of the conference season, some significant games, and I think starting with the Valley Football Association, two teams, 2-0 in the conference, Marshfield and Wausau West. Warriors 4-0 overall. They cracked the top 10 for the first time in quite a while in the Wisports.net High School Football Coaches Rankings, number 10 in D1. Marshfield Tigers, 2-0 in the conference, 2-2 overall. Game played at Tom Field in Wausau on Friday night. A game, again, part of a high school football triple header here on Bow Falls Radio. 6:40 for the pregame, 7 o'clock for the opening kickoff. And it's an interesting matchup, as we've been talking about, because Marshfield playing some really good football. Veteran coaching staff, they know what Wausau West tries to do. Warriors have been so good up front, both offensively and defensively, and running it down the throats. A lot of different moving parts to this football game that make it very intriguing.
Well, as we talked to Coach Gadel, I think he pretty much has a good grasp. If they can stop Wausau West running game, they're probably going to win the game.
Which nobody has done so far.
Nobody has. And no penalties and no big play turnovers, I think, will be the key to both of them. There is a slight chance of rain. But, again, if you're going to be one-dimensional, you're going to put yourself on that track. And Wausau West has got to find a way. And I told you off air, I think if they can throw 12 passes and complete them, they have a good chance to win this game.
And it'll be interesting. We're talking all about Wausau West offensively against Marshfield defensively. It's going to be interesting to watch Marshfield offensively against West defensively. The Warrior D has been stellar so far this season. They've really done a great job, especially up front. Also, you know, with their backers as well. Connor Kalmus was been really good, but also up front has really been the key. And can Marshfield show the consistency? Because, I mean, yes, they had a great night against East Empress, but can they do it again against Wausau West?
And again, the key will be if you can control the quarterback, especially scrambling. That's where Everest had issues. And I think West will be a little bit better prepared for that. But if you can't control him, he's a good athlete, and he's big. It'll be a long night because Everest had good coverage, and then, boom, he cracked off a 70-yarder.
Right.
You got to be careful with those quarterbacks that have the ability to run.
Again, if you can't make it to Tom Field, tune in. I'll have the call starting at 6:40 on Friday right here on Bow Falls Radio WXCO. Another huge – I mean, that's a big game because it's at the top of the conference. I think this game is a huge game for the playoff hopes of both these squads and both teams coming off tough road wins, tough road losses last week. Stevens Point comes to steam, take on D.C. Everest.
Again, I think both teams are improving. I think this could be a nip and tuck, and Spash has limited their mistakes. They're playing one quarterback. They're not turning the ball over a lot. Everest made some second-half mistakes at Marshfield. Again, this is probably a coin toss game.
Also, D.C. Everest has cut down on their errors with Jack Babinski. He has not turned it over the last couple of weeks. He is a physically gifted quarterback. Again, talking to Coach Gadel, it feels like, and look at the numbers from last week, D.C. Everest, has to do a little bit better job protecting Jack Babinski. And also, they did not get a whole lot going on the ground. They got to be, a little bit better on the ground against Stephen Point.
Second half, they have to. Everest has to be a run team first, throw when you need to throw, and play good defense. And second half, they did not play great defense. So, again, big plays and mistakes, turnovers will be a big thing who wins this game.
And also, I think it would be a big red flag for D.C. Everest if they're not able to run the ball against Spash after the fact that Spash
has given up yardage.
They gave up a lot of yardage last week, too. Not just Leo, but the quarterback as well. So, again, game for both these squads.
Again, the loser is going to have a hard climb up to get in the playoffs.
Wisconsin Rapids is at Hortonville. This is an interesting game because Rapids, I still think, is one of the best teams in this conference. They could have easily won at Tom Field a couple of weeks ago. This Hortonville team, they lost in a tight one at Stevens Point 2 weeks ago. They won big last week against Appleton West. If Hortonville is to have a chance, I think they got to win at home on Friday night.
Well, they have to be consistent in their play, and we're not getting that. And the other thing is, they got to stop the beast.
If you let the beast
go for 200 yards, Rapids is going to probably beat you.
And the thing about Rapids, again, is that option offense, and you got
it's unique.
Teal Lucas, who's also very good with the football. There are times you think, oh, it's in Leo's hands. Nope, Lucas has it, and he's getting big chunks. So it's a very difficult defense because, again,
you don't see it.
Not a lot of teams do that. So that's the VFA. GNC, two games Thursday, two games Friday. The Thursday games, Medford, again, looking to continue their good start in conference, hosting Ashland, and Rhinelander is at Antigo.
Yeah, that'll be Medford. Ashland has not stopped the run. Yeah. It's probably going to be a long night for them. And this Antigo, the Bell game, is going to be big for both teams because they both need wins. Right. Loser of that Antigo Rhinelander game could be looking not to be in the playoffs.
And the thing about for Rhinelander is you come off to have a couple of, you know, really tough start with their non-conference games, then yeah. they lose their first conference game in an 8-6 game. Boy, things are looking horribly. Now they get a win last week, 14-0. Now a chance if they win, they're 2-1. All of a sudden things look a whole lot brighter for Rhinelander.
You know, they still haven't played the big M&M team, so. But I think you lose this. And gloom and doom start setting in.
All of a sudden, you have to win one of those M&M That's games, right. which is going to be a very Tough. Difficult task. And then the Friday games, Hayward is at Mosinee. Mosinee
yeah,
looking
Hurricanes,
really good.
Hurricanes come in. I think they're going to be met by a Hurricane. And Mosinee's offense is really good. And I think their defense is getting better.
I wanted to ask you about that because, again, early in the season, the Mosinee defense was having some struggles. Last week, much better. Much better numbers. It's so much more than numbers. I know you know Mosinee because being around it.
A lot of
it. Do you feel like Mosinee skill wise defensively has the ability to be a pretty good defense?
Yeah, when they played Stratford and even St. Cat's, they just weren't tackling well. You know, they were there. They didn't make the play. Now I think they're understanding technique, tackling better. They're understanding schemes. They're swarming better. It's just about having those young players get better.
Lakeland is at Merrill. Last year, Merrill defeated Lakeland on their homecoming day on a Saturday afternoon, a big win for Merrill. And now Merrill, with that win last week at Antigo, 2-2 overall, 1-1 in the conference. Likewise, like the Rhinelander situation. Yes, for the playoff picture to be 2-1 for Merrill, this is a significant home game, isn't it?
Oh, humongous. I mean, if you don't play well and win this game, you have a long uphill battle.
And it's not going to be easy. Lakeland, despite some of their issues, they still have some talent on this
16
team.
16 seniors. They return 11 starters. They've got some experience. Their problem has been turnovers, penalties, you know, miscommunication. I think if they ever get this together, they're a competitive. They were 6-3 last year and made the playoffs.
Exactly right. And again, they've been a bit of, I think, a mystery so far this season. I think that loss to Tomahawk kind of was a kick in the gut for them.
I think it took the wind right out of their sail.
CWC Large, Shiocton at Wyoega Fremont. Can Wyoega Fremont make it 5-0 to start off the season?
Well, this is going to be the toughest team they faced so far. We know Shiocton's got some potential. This will be a good measuring stick for us if Wyoega's really real.
5-0 potentially, man. I mean, that's the and Shiocton is
I
a team.
I want to do some research.
Yeah,
I don't know when that's. It's probably been a really long time.
I think I'm going to try to do some. Maybe you can do some, and we'll come back and see what we can find out next week. Also in the league, Wittenberg Burnham will try to bounce back. That had to be a stinger last week. Chargers at Manawa. This is going to be one of those tests. I mean, when you have a game like that, boy, you put everything into it. I mean, that was a huge game, and now they hit the road to Manawa.
This is part of the culture building and part of the process. When you don't play well, how do you respond? And I would anticipate Wittenberg going out and playing well, not having some of the penalties and mistakes they had against Amherst.
Amherst back at home against Spencer Columbus. This has been a rough go of it so far for Spencer Columbus.
You know, they've had some injuries. They lost a quarterback, things like that. So when you do that, and they were young to start with, this is kind of a regrouping year for the Rockets. I think Amherst had a little bit of regrouping, but that quarterback, Ludowski, is the real deal. He's a good player.
And Stratford playing some pretty good football right now, facing a struggling Nakusa squad, but beyond the game, because we expect Stratford to be able to handle a Nakusa
squad. It's homecoming.
So generally, where do you think Stratford is at this point?
Well, again, I think Stratford is always a very good coach team. Again, I'm not trying to harp on this, but I think their lack of a play-action passing game really hurts them when they play those elite good teams.
CWC Small, and again, I bet you there's not very many happier coaches right now than the coaches of the CWC Small to get away from those Merriwood Conference teams, play within their
Welcome
league
home.
When they have some opportunities. and Assumption coming off. They're very impressive. And that's the one CWC small team that took it to the Marrowwood Conference. Assumption, they host Iola Scandinavia. And Iola, defensively, they've had a hard time no matter who they played slowing them down. Because they've actually put up some decent rushing numbers this season.
They're just inexperienced. They're not a big school. I think they'll struggle. I think Assumption has found a way to get their players the ball. And again, we don't know what's going on, but they're on a roll. I expect it to continue.
Also in the CWC small, Pacelli at Rosholt, and both teams have struggled, but this is a big opportunity.
Well, it's
game.
A rival.
Yes, it is.
Remember a few years ago during COVID, Rosholt allowed them to have their parents' night there. And so this is a rival. This is going to be a good game for both teams. It's going to be a close-fought game.
Loyal knows they get a win in conference. They get the forfeit against Wild Rose. They take on Kingdom Prep Lutheran. If there's one person that would probably know what Kingdom Prep Lutheran can do, it would be Paul Davinsky. Do you know about them?
Yeah, they're a smaller school, but they do. It's a private school. They have been playing football. I mean, it's good game for Loyal. They're not a powerhouse. But it's going to be a good game for the competition.
In our recap, we forgot one team from the Northwoods, Tomahawk, and they kind of came back to earth, a 38-0 loss against Crandon last week.
I got to tell you, I went to Clintonville last week Thursday for a reason. I've heard through the grapevine that Crandon has a good team in Clintonville. They are good teams, and they're physical. So what I'm saying is Tomahawk's not a bad football team. But Crandon's pretty decent.
A Crandon team that at this point, judging from what you've been saying, could be playing pretty deep into the postseason.
I think at that level, now Hurley beat them in a close game. Mm-hmm. So I think they'll do well, but I think they're going to make some noise in the conference and deep in the playoffs.
Another tough game for Tomahawk this week. Oconto Falls, who's 2-0 in the conference, playing in Tomahawk on Friday night.
Now, Oconto Falls played Marshfield. So they've seen the big boys, and then obviously not afraid of competition.
Right.
And they were predicted to be pretty well. I'll tell you another thing that's shocking me. This Northwoods League is getting better.
Yes.
It's getting better, so watch out for some of these teams.
What do you think? Can Tomahawk give them a game on Friday?
I think they have the ability that the quarterback is an athlete. I think they're going to be able to do things. I just don't think they have the guys up front to compete with Oconto Falls. I think Coach Hernandez would do a great job. Mm-hmm. I just wonder about, do they have the physical ability, lineman to lineman, to play football with them?
Marrowwood Conference, after those crossover games, back into it as well. The Marathon Red Raiders licking their wounds after that trip to Rapids last week. They had trouble stopping the run last week, and now they got the Abbotsford Falcons, who put up 650 yards rushing last week. Marathon knows what they're going to have to do Friday night against Abbey.
And one of the things when you become a passing team, which Marathon is kind of, it's hard to get running stoppers because you got those athletic basketball-type kids. Now you need linebacker kids. And Abbotsford's offense, you've seen it, it's difficult. It's kind of like playing Rapids. It's a unique offense, and you have to prepare for it. And if you don't prepare for it, it's going to be problems. Marathon has just got to take care of Marathon.
Mm-hmm.
They can't worry about anybody else except let's play good, fundamentally sound football. Let the chips fall where they may.
Marathon against Abbotsford can be heard here on Bull Falls Radio as the final game of our triple header on tape delay following Wausau West against Marshfield. But you can also hear the game live by going to our website, bullfallsradio.com. Click on Sports Stream 2 starting at 6:30. So again, bullfallsradio.com. Sports Stream 2 starting at 6:30 for the pregame. Tom Weaver will have the call of that one.
Well, the good thing, it's not at 4 o'clock. Again, those are hard games to prepare for.
That's absolutely right. Another interesting game, Auburndale is at Pittsville. Pittsville has proven to be a very competitive team. Auburndale has proved to be a very, very good team so far this season. But Auburndale at Pittsville in a long-time rival game.
This is a rival game.
Yeah.
This has been big. But I right now, Auburndale and Coach Anderson and the Eagles have impressed me. I think this is a team that's getting better. They got skilled kids. They got linemen. Quarterback is very efficient. They have a good receiver. They have a solid running back. This is a team, I think, that's knocking on the door in the Marrowwood.
Going to be interesting matchups when they it do is. Get a chance against the two teams that are involved in our game of the week for this week. The big game from the Marrowwood Conference. The Edgar Wildcats at home hosting the Colby Hornets. Both teams 4-0. Both teams undefeated in conference. Both teams with great football traditions. it has everything, doesn't it?
Well, I went to the game last year, and it was a good game, and it's going to be a good game this year. Again, Colby plays a really pressure-style defense. They don't play with a safety. They're manned up, and they're coming at you. And it's a good defense, but I think Edgar's going to have to capitalize on big plays. Mm. And I think Edgar's also going to have to just stop Colby's run game. Colby has a good running back in some linemen that if they need to get 4 or 5 yards at a crack, traditionally they can do that. And I think Edgar will have to put a damper on that. The other thing is Edgar's offense is efficient, but I think they're going to have to put some points up on the board this game. I think they're going to have to score 21 points. I think the winner is going to have to score 21 points.
And the thing about Edgar over the years is during these kind of games, they sometimes find a way to score on special teams. They've always had that ability to get a special team score.
Well, they put their best players out there, and they're designed for it. They've been practicing plays that we've never seen. Mm-hmm. Neither has Colby.
So what do you think?
This is a toss-up game. If you're going to bet on this, I mean, both squads are extremely well coached. They've won state championships. They've got good players. It's homecoming. It's at Edgar. If you're going to give an advantage, you'll have to give a slight advantage to Edgar because of the home field advantage. But I'm not. I think this is a toss-up game. Anybody could win this game.
Do you think Edgar is significantly better than they were last year?
Yes. They're young. They're full of juniors. Lots of juniors playing. I think their quarterback play is much better. Mm-hmm. I think their defense is better, too. I'll tell you right now, Colby has impressed me starting from about 3 years ago. I know the coaches. I know their players. They can compete mentally and physically with Edgar. Get your coin out, flip it in the air. The team that probably has an interception, a fumble, or a big penalty will lose the game.
You better get there early.
I got to be in Mosinee this week.
Oh, you do?
I'll be streaming it.
Oh, I see. You're flipping the burgers this week?
Yes, I'll be streaming it.
Oh, very, very good. We got about a little over 2 minutes to go. Final thought, is there a topic you want to kind of touch on before we wrap it up? It could be about this week's games. Anything in particular that's on your mind to wrap things up?
As I look at the big picture here, it's going to be very important for those teams that want to win conference championships and want to make deep playoff runs to fix all the issues. And I've been harping on some teams that you've got to do this and you've got to do this as an outsider looking in. They've got to look at what are my weaknesses and how do I get them better and what are my strengths and how do I maximize that. And this week there's a big test for some teams.
Right.
You know, Wausau West, Marshfield. That's a big test. Edgar, Colby. I don't really see a lot of weaknesses, but a big test. You see these teams, Everest, Smash, mm-hmm. Rapids, Hortonville. You know, they're consistent play and just getting better every week. And those are the teams that rise to the occasion. The teams that don't get better, those weaknesses continue to haunt you all season long.
And one of the things as well for some of these teams, you don't want to stub your toe because in the end that could be the difference between staying home early in the playoffs and going on the road. Some of these teams, especially in central Wisconsin, when you know that some of these games could be against very good, tough
opponents.
That's
the problem. If you're not a seeded team, you're going to play a really good team mm-hmm. and you're going on the road. And that is one of the reasons that we haven't seen some teams make deep playoff runs.
Thanks again to our guests this week. Two terrific guests. We had Marshfield head football coach Denny Gadel and also Carter Butt from the Edgar Wildcats. Outstanding guests. Have fun. Enjoy Owen Withy in Athens tomorrow night. Enjoy the Mosinee game on Friday.
Anytime you can go out and watch football, it's the best show in town.
We should stay dry these tomorrow, maybe hopefully on Friday as well. So. It's all good. And we'll be back.
A very slight chance of rain.
Yep, and we'll be back next week Wednesday night from 6 till 8 for the next edition. So, Coach, have a great week.
Yeah, you too, Chad.
That's Paul Davinsky. I'm Chad Holmes. This has been the Big High School Sports Show.